Hey guys, this episode of The Read is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com/the read and enter offer code FURY at checkout. That's offer code FURY at squarespace.com/the read. A better web starts with your website, so start your website with Squarespace, and we are going to start the show.
Hey, nigga.
Okay, why not? Sure. Absolutely.
Hi, ladies and germs. My name is Kevon, and I am Blue Ivy's shooter.
Excuse me? What does that even mean?
I'm Blue Ivy's shooter.
What is a shooter?
Nothing.
Okay, well then I am Sophia Petrillo.
And this is The Read.
Yes, it is. Amen. How are you doing today, friend? Pretty good?
You know, Roberta, I am great. I'm fantastic.
Are you on something?
No.
Okay.
I would never do that.
No, you would never.
I am too classy and too professional.
Yeah, way too classy for drugs.
So, yeah, this is The Read.
Yes, it is. Welcome back.
I feel like it's going to be a special one.
I feel that in my bones. I do. Yes, I do.
That is a fantastic song. Feel it in my bones.
It is. The Jesus one, or is that a secular song that I don't know about?
There's a secular one.
Okay.
It's not like that kind of feeling it in bones, but it's... Is it Tegan and Sarah? Is it... Who is it? I don't know.
Okay, well,
I'll figure it out. Someone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So let's just get started. Okay. Oh, before we get into like Black excellence, there's a fun one.
I just
want to remind everyone that the intros for these shows can be found in a playlist on soundcloud.com/the read. If you scroll down far enough, there is a playlist there called The Intros. And it has pretty much every song that has been an intro to the show. I update it every week whenever I add a new intro to these things. So if you hear a new one and you're curious to what that may be, just check out the intros playlist on soundcloud.com/the read. And it should be there if you scroll further. I mean, down to the bottom of the page or whatever.
Great. Good to know.
Just an FYI. Also, I'm probably going to try and add the Tummy Tuck playlist that I use in the gym. Someone asked me to put it up online.
Is it called Tummy Tuck?
Yeah, we talked about this. My playlist is called Tummy
Tuck. Oh,
I don't
remember anything from week to week, so.
Okay, whatever.
Great. So, that's fantastic.
I'll try and add that as well. All right. Black excellence.
Mm-hmm.
This week. Again, I got so many messages about this one.
So did I.
This is the 8th grade band, Unlocking the Truth. This band is comprised of Malcolm Brickhouse, who is 13, Alec Atkins, who is 13, and Jared Dawkins, who is 12. Three young black youths from Brooklyn, New York, that just got a $1.7 million deal with Sony. I've heard, I don't know what number it is, because I've heard 1.7, 1.8, and I've heard 1.9. Either way, we'll just call it more than me.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
How about sickening no matter what?
How about as many Lunchables as they so desire?
All the Lunchables.
Whichever you wish.
Every single one of them. Fill up the whole card, bitch.
Go-Gurts.
Absolutely. It's Money Team over here.
I mean,
all of it. Whatever the kids are eating these days, Gushers and shit.
Day
every
long.
Last bit
fruit,
of
fruit, roll them right
go
on
go to
up.
Walmart and just ball the fuck out. Why
let's
not
get started.
All the goldfish you can stand.
Every one.
I love it. Absolutely. Amen.
And like if you look them up on, they played at Coachella.
I've seen those kids before.
They've like, yeah, they performed
around
the city.
I've seen them playing outside of like 34th Street or something.
They're so good.
They are good. I was surprised. I was like, wait a minute, those are children.
Like,
but this was like maybe a couple of years ago that I even saw them. It was right after I moved to New York, and I was like, who the fuck are those kids? So
yeah, they're this metal band, and they slay. So congratulations to them. Again, I get a little nervous when I see child stars because, you know, the entertainment industry is brutal.
It does.
It's run by, you know, rich white men that really care more about profit than stardom. That has nothing to do with this. I'm not trying to make it dark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I hope that all of these child stars have some kind of stable support system.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they will need it.
And we also got a black, we get so many of these, a black excellence letter to our inbox. And this one says, we are the LC, which is a group of six black women who met on the campus of Florida A&M several years ago at the College of Engineering. All six of us have engineering degrees, but we want to recognize Dr. Makita Phillips for black excellence because she recently received her PhD in mechanical engineering from North Carolina State University. And she is the first African-American woman to achieve a PhD in mechanical engineering at North Carolina State. She is such an inspiration to not only our group of friends, but to our community at large. She is always dreaming big, and we want to salute her for a major accomplishment. So congratulations, Dr. Makita Phillips, for being the first black woman to get a PhD in mechanical engineering from North Carolina State University. That is amazing.
You know what? I love this.
In college, when I first got to college, I didn't even know engineering was a thing. Like, I did not even know that that was, like, a major. I had never heard of it before. No, I really had no idea what it was. And then when I got there, all the sorority girls, because I went to a mostly white school, so all the sorority girls were like, listen, gotta find an engineering major, because in 5 years, they're gonna be paid as fuck. So, like, if you wanna come with us, we're gonna go scout them out. Like, we're gonna go find one. So, congratulations to you, Dr. Makita, and to all of you who have engineering degrees and any degree in science or math or anything else that I can't do. I find that very admirable.
So listen.
Are we going to do it? Because I'm ready. I have notes.
I mean, we have hot topics, but really, I don't even know if we're going to make it. So.
Okay.
First of all, I just want to say, I tried to do a video review. Didn't work out so well. Don't ask me no questions. I gave it a shot. It didn't work.
I tried.
I will just say that I am so full. Like, I am spiritually full. I have everything that I need. All of my nutrients. just everything that I so desire.
Yes.
It is here.
I'm very in sated. My spirit. I just feel amazing. I don't remember who I was before this show.
You know, I don't either.
I really don't. Like, I don't remember who I was before Saturday. It feels like a distant memory. Like, that girl, she just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And the new one has seen Beyonce and Jay-Z at the same damn time. It's just amazing. Let's talk about it, please.
On the Run was...
Bitch.
It was a spiritually uplifting experience. And I don't know that I will ever be the same. Mm-mm. So listen, I know that the tour is not over. Those of you who... I may have not seen it yet. We'll jot down a note of the time that you can skip forward to so that you don't get anything spoiled for you. Because, girl, I'm not pulling no punches. I have got to celebrate the queen.
Absolutely.
So let's just dive right into it. I'm just going to start, first of all, like my video was supposed to be. The experience itself, for me, outside of the show. Got down to the New Jersey Transit, honey. I publicked it out. And, you know, I made it on over there, just a crisp 7:30, I'd like to say. They go on at around 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately when I got there, I was just so very thankful at the blessing that was the seat that I
yes.
got.
Yes, amen.
It was just it was on the floor. It was just a phenomenal view of the stage and the screens and the stage in the center and just...
I just had fantastic seats. I just want to thank God again for blessing and favor when it comes to Beyonce tickets.
Because there were so many seats there that you could have had.
Yes.
But
the Lord, come on. God said, you are going to be on the floor for On the Run. And thus so, it was.
The first thing I noticed is that up on the screen, before anything's happening, it says this is not real life. And I'm like, you bet your black ass bottom dollar it ain't. And then I went over and grabbed me a strawberita. Yes, I did. I regret nothing.
Mm.
I got a water with it.
Okay.
You know, so I just sipped. I went back and forth to
basically
just level
cancel
myself
each other out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sure.
Saw loads of fellow Beyonce fans there that, mm-hmm. you know, we got to take pictures and fellowship together. And it was just great. Once the sunset, it was just kind of like that, the beginning of Lion King. Nah, it was just kind of like once the sun just like fully was out of the horizon, and that's when they were just like, okay, girl, like, here we come.
Right.
And it's funny because I really had to pee from the strawberry and the water like before they even started, and I was just about, like, I was literally running to the bathroom when the lights went out, and I was like full circle. Nope! I just like ran right back to my seat.
It can wait.
Like, I literally held that water for 2 hours.
You do what you have to do.
And 30 crisp minutes.
Absolutely.
And I regret nothing.
Not a damn thing.
Nothing.
Because it was fantastic.
I knew the restroom would be there when the show was over. It was, and I used it when I was done. I missed nothing.
I didn't either. Not one damn thing.
So, I mean, what?
I was just front and center, like, really in the middle, like five rows back, standing on chairs, just, I literally stood on a chair and screamed for Beyonce and Jay-Z for 2.5 solid hours. Like, I did not take a break. I was very steadfast in showing my adoration for them. As soon as the lights went down and Beyonce's fucking new perfume commercial came on, I started screaming.
Oh yeah, that was,
it was nonstop standing. And shout out to the girl in the row behind me who had an attitude and was mad because people were standing up. Sweetie, I don't know why you thought you was gonna come to a Beyonce concert and sit down. Maybe you're just a Jay-Z fan and so Jigga was in the area and you decided to go. Well, but you need to understand that if you niggas sit down for Jay-Z concerts, that's your business, but the Hive doesn't play that. We get
first
our asses
of all,
up.
You don't do that. Is rude. That is disrespectful. Like, even if you have never heard a Jay-Z song before in your life, like, bow down to the king and queen, and they are the king and king, however it is that you would like to,
whatever,
you, they're royal. Yes. You do what you were, you know, you do what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You don't be, and then furthermore, like, I'm here at this concert to get my life. If you choose to sit down and you can't see because I'm standing up and getting my life, girl, that's your cross to bear.
Absolutely.
That has nothing to do with me.
Absolutely. I really don't give a shit if your feelings are hurt about this. I came to dance for the queen, to sing along with her, to scream at her and her husband. That is why I'm here. That is why I gave these people all of my good money. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. You can stay mad
first
about
of all,
it, but that's none of my business.
This is not like a Beyonce show featuring Jay-Z. It is a Beyonce and Jay-Z show.
It is.
Through and through. It is equal parts Beyonce and Jay-Z. So if, like, I just feel like if you're going to a Beyonce show, like, even if you're a bigger Beyonce fan than a Jay-Z fan or vice versa, you're still gonna get your life. Because Beyonce fans just love Jay-Z, like, by default. And everybody love Beyonce. So there's just, like, I just don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was up on my seat rapping along to every single one of Jay-Z's lyrics. And I was just, like,
every
on my whole
one. I knew all of his words.
Like, I was completely on my fake trade hip-hop stance. And then when the queen came out, I was screaming, yes, bitch! Yes, Beyonce! Work!
You're
giving! Bitch! All of it. It was just a smooth transition.
Are we going to go in order, or are we just going to randomly talk about our favorite things?
I mean, I don't remember everything in order. But we can start by, you know, the whole, like, clip with Move That Dope. I just appreciate that it just started off trail. Like,
yes,
it was trail from the beginning.
It did.
And it was just like, okay, this is exactly where I need to be in my life. And then for them to come out the way that they did, and I love the costume that Beyonce wears with that, like, that fishnet mask.
Yes.
And then he's there with his fucking hat. I mean, with that, like, beanie cocked to the side. And they just look, like, so wealthy and just like, yes, girl, here we are. Like, you're welcome. And it's just, like,
yeah, I love that they dove straight into, like, their most popular collaborations. They went straight into 03 Bonnie and Clyde, Crazy in Love.
Like, let's just start from the beginning.
They were like, let's just go ahead
and knock these niggas out. And start right at the beginning. The origin story, which
right.
is 03 Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes, exactly.
We all know it. We all remember it. Like, bitch, don't you ever forget. Like, look how far we've come. We're still slaying. We're still together, and we will murk you niggas.
And they,
like,
are telling a story with the show.
Right.
Absolutely. With the set list and the song, the order that they're going in and the vignettes, it's all telling a story. I feel like that was very, like, obvious. I don't think you had to be paying special attention to get that.
Yeah, I don't think so at all.
But it was just dope as hell. I just loved every second of it.
I can't even, all of the different, like, costumes, lights. First of all, shout out to Beyonce and Parkwood for recognizing that this is a talent that does not need the extra.
Nope.
She doesn't have to have fucking forests and oceans. This bitch don't have to have like motherfucking spaceships and pyramids and fucking mummies with giant asses, Katy Perry. She doesn't have to have teddy bears and shit up on stage. Give mama some lights.
That's it. And a mic.
Some camera and bitch. Some action.
Bitch.
You're gonna get it. Like, that's, bitch, all you need is the light and the camera, and she will give your motherfucking ass the action. That's all you goddamn need.
Why don't you love me? When she sat there and went the fuck off for like 2 solid minutes on Why Don't You Love Me and was just riffing and going all up and down her vocal range. Like, don't forget that I can sing my ass off.
Why don't
like,
you
yeah,
love
me? Like, yeah, I look good, but bitch, I can sing.
Why Don't You Love Me and Resentment were two, there were the two vocal moments that I literally like scared my surrounding concert goers.
Yeah.
Because I shouted so loud.
Yes.
And I shouted so many profane things that they were like, girl, what? Like, like the people around, and I was like, girl.
Relax? Right.
It's fine. Because I screamed so many, you better sing, bitches. Like,
yeah.
But, like, she had no right to approach me and my life with those vocals.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like, what are you doing here?
For me, it was Why Don't You Love Me and Love on Top, which is one of her most challenging songs vocally. For that bitch to sit there and just take us octave by octave, I said, you light-skinned bitch, if you don't sing your motherfucking ass off.
And if I remember correctly, she did Resentment. I mean, she did Love on Top, like, right after Resentment.
I think so. I don't remember exactly.
Because she started, she did Resentment in the wedding dress, and then she did Love on Top in the wedding dress.
I just remember she was in, like, that center stage, like that B stage, and not the main stage.
Either way,
it didn't matter because it had like a Jackson 5 undertone into it. It was like a tribute Michael Jackson and Love on. You better get the fuck.
She did "I Want You Back" mixed into that Jackson 5 mixed into Love on Top,
bruh.
I almost punched my neighbor. Like, I almost, like, literally chopped my neighbor in the throat because I was unable to deal.
Me and Asante were, like, screaming, like, wailing, like something was wrong
like,
with us.
First of all, how dare you?
Bitch!
How dare you? Are you kidding?
Like, she took it there. She took it there. She drove us fucking crazy, and it was everything. Speaking of covers, she also did Lauryn Hill's X Factor.
I was going to mention that.
Which had the whole crowd just, like, automatically, like, yes, bitch, yes. This ain't no Lauryn show, but who gives a damn?
Like,
I'm going to sit here and sit, because everybody knows that song.
Beyonce,
everybody loves
like,
it.
She gives nods to, like, not only, like, fantastic singers and, like, R&B classics and stuff, but, like, just like these fantastic records. Like, she sang Jill Scott before.
Yeah.
And Jill Scott completely stands for her all the time.
Yeah, she does.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, she sings these songs. Solange does it too. Solange does it all the time. Solange will give you, like, Laundromat by Nivea.
Yes, she will.
She will give you, like,
at that show we went to in Brooklyn.
702 and shit.
And she slays. Oh, these sisters, what can they not do?
So she also did like a cover. It was in one of the little clips, though. She did a cover of Bang Bang by Nancy Sinatra.
Oh, really?
Yes. Bang Bang from Kill Bill.
Oh, from Kill
Shot
Bill.
Shot You Down.
Okay,
Bang Bang.
Yes, all
right. The ground.
Right.
I died.
Yes, I'm sure you
like,
did.
Like, excuse me? You did not just sing my favorite Nancy Sinatra song. And then right after that, they played Angels by the XX. Like, she just has no right. You have no right to bless me like this and also live for all of the songs that I live for, bitch. Are you kidding me?
That's so real, but, like, not even to just be stuck on Beyonce. Like, Jay-Z can hold his own. He doesn't have dancers, makeup, you know, a bunch of clothing changes or anything like that, but Jay-Z is very personable on stage. He's not just
give
up there.
The
he don't need the
machine.
Entourage or nothing.
You know this song. You don't even know you know this song.
Oh,
bitch,
but
you know this song.
And
I'm about to show it to you. Cut that fucking fog machine up. Play my graphics in the back.
Yes.
Bitch, I'm about to give these niggas their lives.
Show and me what, like, you got. Child, I fell out like I was from Brooklyn.
My favorite performance from him was actually, it was two. It was obviously Song Cry.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck, what is the other one?
I don't know.
I forgot the name
of the. I
don't
know which one you mean. I have a set list in front of me, so I'm just looking at it like, I love all these songs. Was it Izzo?
No. Hard Knock Life.
Hard Knock. Yes.
Hard Knock Life.
Oh my God. That shit went the fuck off.
That's one of my favorite songs by him.
Mine was Beach Is Better and Big Pimpin'. Those were the two.
I forgot he did Beach Is
Better.
Because
I have known the words to Beach Is Better since the day Magna Carta Holy Grail came out.
It's 47 seconds.
I mean, it's 47 seconds, yes, but it's some of the hardest 47 seconds you have ever heard.
I love, though, that he does that song more than once.
Yes. He went into it again a second time like he was going to do it the whole time.
He did that at the Magna Carta World Tour, too. Because you know that we live for it, and it's so fucking short, so he's like, I'll do it like three times.
Because everybody loves the, or Beyonce part, like everybody lives for that. And they know it. And I think Jay-Z really gets off on the crowd, like making the crowd do shit. Like you can see his face light up. And especially since he was basically at home. So everybody was
and
just
and you can
like,
tell he has like so much fun. Like he be laughing and smiling and he's so personable.
Right.
I love when he does a public service announcement
me
every
too.
Single time. Because that's like the song.
Bitch.
Like I feel like when I think of Jay-Z like song, although it's not like his, I don't know if it's like his biggest classic, maybe
I don't
think
every
fan. But like when I think of like a Jay-Z like concert, I always think of that song because you throw your diamond up and it's just so much
everybody
fun.
I threw the diamond up so many times, like, I didn't give a damn,
no less than thrice.
Woo! It was just so good.
Also, so one thing that I was gonna mention in this video that never happened, I was kind of interested in seeing how the crowds would relate, because again I feel like, you know, Beyonce fans love Jay-Z and like Jay-Z fans love Beyonce, but there are two different crowds. Like I've been to Beyonce concerts and that is like there is a Beyonce like fandom.
Yes.
And then I've been to Jay-Z concerts and there's like a Jay-Z like hip hop fandom. Mm-hmm. And so I was like interested to see how they would mesh. Everybody, it was a party.
Right.
But I was definitely with the rap girls because they were blowing tree to the sky.
And Jay-Z shouted out the weed smokers on, I think, Tom Ford. Yeah.
I don't know who's
on Tom
fucking
Ford.
Rectum sponsored the marijuana that made it into
somebody
that
had weed at my show too.
But bitch, they were right in my section. They were right next to me.
So you caught a contact high?
I was just, yes. There was literally a cloud just sitting there. I said, okay, girl, I know who I'm with.
Absolutely.
And they are requesting a fuck you to all of these bitches from all of my niggas who don't love hoes.
The crowd lost they shit at Drunken Love like you would expect. But when it first came in, when it was like first them violins.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, bitch, give it to me. Give it to me, Beyonce. I can't.
This is why I was here. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm here.
The anticipation.
And
I cannot take it.
Again, I brought my fucking charging case, my little Mophie thing. I brought an extra pair of contact lenses because you never know how hard the devil's going to hang.
You never know.
I brought everything. I bought comfortable shoes.
Yes.
I had my water with my
fucking
liquor.
I wore flats. We was not lying when we told y'all last week how to get ready for these shows. It's not a joke.
I'm telling you, you can't
do
it.
I saw so many girls in heels like, bitch, you're going to regret this.
Let me tell you how the devil tried to interrupt Drunken Love. I had my ticket right and I was in my seat. There were a couple of seats that were open on the floor seats, on the floor sections. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people tried to bump up and shit during the concert or whatever, which I don't mind. I get it. Do you? I'm going to sit in my seat though because I am comfortable with where I'm at. I can see everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can smell mama's perfume from here. I'm fine.
Right.
I don't need to move. So I'm going to sit right here because the security guard comes and tried to fuck with me, which I don't, they didn't do much of.
Yeah.
But like, you're not going to do this when this concert is going on.
Yeah.
Literally, when those violins and everything and you hear the voice and Drunken Love was about to start, and obviously I'm here for, like, I need it.
I need it.
I need to have this.
I need that song. Yes.
Here comes this security guard with this bitch and her goddamn ticket and pointing at me like,
like,
oh, this is
seat.
The seat. I said, sweetheart, I can tell you my section number, row, and seat number right here, right now. And I promise you that it matches with the ticket that I'm about to slap in your face. Mama's got a 17 on her ticket. I am a 20. Take her down the road. And they're looking at me like confused and like shocked. Like I just like read them.
You need
sweetheart,
to get the fuck out of my face.
I'm in my seat. And I immediately, they're still looking at me and looking back and forth to the ticket. And I jumped up on my seat, standing up. And I said, I've been drinking. I've like ignored the fuck out of them because the devil will not have this
he
moment.
He won't prosper with
you.
You
won't
today.
Do it.
Nope, absolutely not. Hell no. Not. I have been waiting months.
Months!
To see this shit in person. I may never have this opportunity again. It's only 21 days. These niggas are selfish.
This is Beyonce and Jay-Z. In
both of them
simultaneously.
At the same damn. And it's not just their songs. It's her greatest and her newest and his greatest and his newest and then their collaborations and then Blue Ivy, the goddess. I just, bitch.
I'm not even ready for that.
I could throw something right now. just thinking about that motherfucking show. Like, it was really just perfect, and I loved absolutely every moment of it. It was just, she did Flawless, she did Haunted, she did Pretty Hurts. Speaking of which, Texas, you niggas are going to shit when you see some of the stuff she has on, because that bitch reps Houston so fucking hard. So when y'all see some of these tour outfits, y'all are just gonna die. I'm mad that I sold my Houston ticket to this show.
I wear my Fuck Yeah Houston's Awesome hat.
Oh, did you really?
I think so.
I wore a Jay-Z t-shirt to the show, so I get it, but like, I just feel like I'm mad that I, because I had a floor seat there too, and so I'm pissed that I sold that ticket, because I should have gone to Houston and watched this show.
I may have not worn
Houston
that.
Is going to die for this.
I don't know.
But yeah, as long as you had a floor seat, you had the same wristband, and then just the people in the pit had like a VIP access kind of like badge thing. So as soon as the lights went down and I saw that there was like hella empty seats in them upper rows, me and Asante was like, well, peace the fuck out, because we was next to some daddy and his daughter. And I was just like, this is going to get real awkward for y'all around the partition
there's
moment.
Always,
and I don't want to see it.
Right. There's always like, at both of their shows, there's always like these like older white audience members, but not like a 60-year-old white man in a suit with his like 45, 50-year-old white wife, and she's wearing like a ball gown with a stole. And it's like, girl, this is not the Philharmonic.
Right.
Like
I saw a whole white family, and it was just like, y'all are dressed like y'all are going to a taping
people.
Of Mr. Rogers or something. And this is not, like, I'm very perplexed about why you brought like your 12-year-old and 10-year-old to this show. But hey, I hope you enjoy it, because Beyonce's about to get on that chaise and flip her ass around and show her bare black ass. So, I mean, and I'm here for it. So if you
I'm
have
grown.
A problem with your kids seeing it, then that's not really my business.
I'm an adult.
But we moved up to some seats, you know, closer to the stage, with the full understanding that if, you know, security comes through like checking tickets, we're just gonna have to go back. But oh well, that's just a risk I'm gonna have to take.
I was told.
And I just completely went for it. It was perfect.
It was
flawless.
That was great.
So it started with like, you know, whirlwind relationship. You know how when everybody starts relationships, it's all lovey-dovey and everything's good. Like, I felt like that was what they did. They started off with, you know, infatuation and fun and falling in love and all this. And then the middle part of the show was like, okay, you know what? Shit gets complicated. Shit gets real sometimes. We have our problems. We go through shit. And that was, you know, like him doing Song Cry, which surprised the fuck out of me. I wasn't ready for that.
I loved it.
I did too, but I just wasn't ready for that. And then, of course, her doing Resentment and all these other songs, like, they transitioned to music that show that they were going through some shit. You know, this is not the perfect relationship that it may look like on Instagram or on the blogs or whatever. And I think most people know that.
I think it's common sense.
I think it is too, but it was still just like, you know, everything with us has not been sweet or perfect. We have worked hard to stay together. And then topping it off with like, but the underlying theme here is love. We love each other. We have incredible love for each other. But more importantly, we have this fucking amazing love for Blue Ivy. Let's all turn around and watch a short movie of Blue Ivy Carter's life.
I'm actually not
even
ready.
No. Let's go ahead and talk about it.
No, because I'm not. Like, we have to actually, like, round this all up.
Okay,
all
right. Well, let's round it out.
And finish it.
All right.
We have to go back and talk about the cussing. Because...
Oh, B...
Everyone that, like, people who know the way that I stand for Beyonce know that I love hearing her cuss. And it's just something that I personally enjoy. And, you know, like, Gia loves her fingers.
Yes.
Or her hands.
I mean, her hands are perfect.
I mean, they are. But, you know, I really, like, stand for her cussing.
Okay.
And there were several scenes where they were, like, robbing the bank. She told some bitch to stop screaming and said, motherfucker,
shut the fuck up. Yes.
There was a point where, I think before, Why Don't You Love Me or something, where she left
the voicemails.
All those voicemails and... He was, like, deleting them, and finally, like, she ended it by saying, do you think I give a shit how much money you have? Nigga, I am
rich.
That was fantastic.
I love
hearing Beyonce talk her
shit. I do, too.
Because she doesn't do it very often.
Nope.
Like, she's so humble, and, like, the few times that she does, like, talk shit, it's on, like, songs and performances and stuff like that, where it's just fun.
Yes. It was fantastic. That whole scene, like, watching them be fake gangsters or whatever, but the whole thing...
I like how it, like, it just kept going, this is not real. Like, this is not a real gun.
This is not real. Not a real gun.
Real bullets.
Not real people.
This is just make-believe.
None of this shit is real.
Now we can talk about the end.
Okay, now we can talk about Princess Blue Ivy Carter.
So, they did...
Young
I think
Forever.
On the... Okay, yeah, they did On the Run. But then they did Young Forever, which... Okay, so this is why I cried. I cried because Young Forever already gets
Forever
me.
Young, sorry. Young Forever, well, Forever it Young. Samples whatever Young Forever, it is.
Whatever. Right. It, like, even the original, like, the album version of that song with Mr. Hudson's vocals, something, it just, I don't know if it's, like, the production of the song and the, I don't know, but it just kind of does something to me. Like, it's just, like, an emotional record. And, like, the meaning behind it is emotional, but I always have stand for them performing that song together. So getting to be there to perform the song was great. And then him walking her, like, to that, like, center stage and holding her hand, and she's just looking beautiful, and he's just looking like, yes, this is my wife. She's perfect. I just want to make sure that she is able to get up these steps in her heels. And she's got like that Americana flag around her waist.
Yes.
And then they turn around.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I love that when they play. First of all, I didn't expect for us to be blessed by so many different clips of the princess.
Yes.
I thought it might have just been like a quick shot like Beyonce's done before. Oh no, we got like full like 3 minutes or something of home footage.
We saw
footage.
Blue Ivy trying to suck Jay-Z's face off, like just trying to eat it off, just like grabbing her daddy's face. Like I'm going
and just looking so
to
happy
eat your face,
loved.
Daddy. I'm going to eat it.
We saw her pregnant. We saw them in the hospital.
Yes.
We saw like
we
Blue,
saw
infants
like,
Blue.
Looking at Blue right after she was born, like topless and well, you couldn't see her titties, but like she had clearly just given birth and like her whole bare pregnant stomach, like at a maternity photo shoot, and then just Blue Ivy throughout, you know, her very short life.
Blue Ivy living for
clips.
Herself in the mirror.
Blue Ivy looking at herself like, well, girl, you're cute.
Blue Ivy enjoying, like, pools. Blue Ivy laying down on her dad's back as he's doing push-ups. And then him, like,
and then
sitting
she
on her.
Trying, right, she's trying to push him
and
up, which is
just giggling. She just is such a happy baby and also knows that she's sickening. Like, and you can't tell me no goddamn difference.
Right, no,
Blue
she knows
Blue Ivy
it.
Knows that she is a part of a powerhouse family and that she is the shit. She knows it. Like, she knows that everyone lives for her. The dolphins jump up out of the goddamn ocean to greet her. Like, she
knows it.
She gets it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something about like seeing, although I can't stand kids, like I love babies. And I love seeing parents like loving their babies, you know? And so it was like, and then they start playing Halo as they're playing.
Oh, God.
And Halo is the song to cry to. Like, if you gon' cry at a Beyonce song, it's probably gonna be during Halo. Like, that's when she'll be bringing out like the sick kids and stuff and sings to them.
Oh,
like, it's
yeah.
always during Halo and
like,
the
bitch, don't do this to us.
So, it's just, again, that instrumental and then these, and then they're like, he has his arm around her and they're just watching it and, like, soaking
That's
in
the thing. The whole fucking stadium
baby.
Is watching this Blue Ivy movie. And even though they've seen it a million times because they are the ones who put it together and they have watched Blue
it
Ivy
felt like they,
up,
it felt like they invited us over.
They were just at the B stage, arms around each other like, yes, look at Blue Ivy's sickening ass.
Like, look at our beautiful baby. I bawled.
Okay.
And I am not ashamed of it. Like, I cried like when you at church and the preacher had a word just for you. Like,
yes.
The old ugly sinner's cry.
One of them words that hit you in the middle of your soul.
I was like, it, bitch. I was so glad that that camera never sweeped up against me during that. I had an old TBN
You better
cry.
Hope you're not on the DVD.
Bitch, I hope to God not. Because, and side note, can we get into the fact that those, like, the concerts are shot like a DVD?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you're watching, like, the huge screens on either side of the stage, it's not like pan, pan, cut, cut to this camera, cut to that. Like, they literally know how they want
right.
the visual for the whole concert to be, and they shoot it that way. Like,
yes.
they sweep the camera across the stage when they're dancing in a line. They rattle the camera at parts when it's supposed to look chaotic. Like,
they don't
it's
give
practically
a shit.
Like
yes.
watching the DVD if you don't have, like, if you can't actually see the stage right up there or whatever. Like
yes.
literally, like, HBO, when they air the shit on the Paris shows in September, which I cannot wait for.
Cannot.
It's literally, like, Parkwood being like, here, girl. Like, girl, here
Right, like,
here
you already know HBO is not about to collaborate with Beyonce
no.
on the content of this. Beyonce is going to put something together in Final Cut Pro.
And we'll be like...
And Dropbox it to them niggas.
It's in Dropbox.
Like, feel free to go ahead and air this whenever you want.
Whenever you're
but
ready.
Contractually, I fulfilled our obligation.
We're
Have a great
here.
Day.
We're finished.
I assume the check is in the mail. Like, period.
And so I'm excited because it's giving me, all right, that's going to be on HBO in September.
Yes.
Holiday season. Mm-hmm. I'm predicting and praying for a, like, Blu-ray and DVD on the run tour, HBO special, deluxe edition with the Mrs. Carter tour in Europe.
And let me tell you what, if they sell a double DVD with On the Run and the Mrs. Carter tour, just like last year when the Beyonce album dropped, every last one of you motherfuckers kin to me are getting that DVD for Christmas. Don't even, I don't want to hear it. Don't send me no Facebook messages. Don't text me. This is what you're getting. I'm going to go to Best Buy, just like I did last year, and pick up 10 of them things and be like, ring them up separately, just because I don't know how y'all play. I'll sit here. Yes. Yes. I have cash. Yes. All of it. Come on. Ring it up.
If you don't like it, you can go to another line. This is none of your business. We're doing Beyonce right now.
Don't worry about
what
I'm. This is Hive business. And if I'm you was stuffing, invited, you would know.
I am stuffing the fuck out of these stockings. Okay.
Listen, Blue Ivy's iMessage said to tell them niggas to ring it up one by one. So that's exactly what the fuck y'all gonna do.
And I'm dreaming of a blue Christmas, bitch. If you have a problem with it, you can punch it on over down to Express. Because, honey, we don't have time.
It was really just beautiful. If On the Run is coming to your city and you don't have tickets, I highly recommend going to Ticketmaster or your favorite reseller and trying to find one, because you do not want to miss this show.
Even if you're sitting up next to MC Light Girl, it's worth it.
Yes. Even if you're in the nosebleeds, they have huge screens. So don't worry about it.
You are going to get your life.
Yes, you're going to live. I really stood up the entire fucking show. Like 2.5, my big ass stood up all that long and was just like, yeah.
My feet were like pulp.
There were some girls.
But it was worth it.
There were some girls in front of me who looked like Kid Fury fans, you know. They look like Kid Fury fans.
I don't have time.
No, I just feel like if you were there, they would have been like, oh my God, I love your videos. But anyway.
Okay, thanks.
Every time I was like, yes, bitch. Like, every time I called Beyonce a bitch, one of them would turn around and look at me like she had a problem. Like, sweetie, you don't understand. Beyonce and I have this kind of relationship. We've been on each other's Facebooks. Like, maybe you would get it if you had been on. We have a mutual Facebook relationship. So, she's been on mine. I've been on hers. We're those kind of friends. So, I can say, yes. Yes, bitch, all I want to, she gets it. She knows, she saw me, she pointed at me briefly, it's fine. I didn't want to brag, but yes. So don't worry about me calling Beyonce a bitch. It's all out of love. Clearly, I am not calling her like a stank ass, hoe ass, trollop ass bitch.
I called her so many bitches.
So many bitches. So many bitches.
Because it's just like, it's out of control. Again, like when she was singing Resentment, it was like something just literally crept up into my body and
God,
just
it was
took
so
control
good.
Over me, and I just began to shout. I was just like, ma'am, are you serious?
Looking at the set list, though, it is just Crazy in Love, Diamonds Are Forever, Niggas in Paris, Run the World, Flawless, Yonsei, which is so sexy, Big Pimpin', Ring the Alarm, Click, Diva.
The dancing, the lights,
bitch,
the costumes. The just
99 Problems. The 99 Problems, the whole fucking audience went off. Ugh.
I just...
Oh, God, it was
so
good.
It was a great experience.
It was so good.
It was so much fun.
It makes you remember how much of a Jay-Z fan you are. If you're like a Beyonce stan.
I never really
It makes
forgot.
You... Like, I knew always that I loved Jay-Z. But being there and seeing that man and like rapping along with him to some of my favorite songs, it was just like, I actually stand for this nigga. Like,
yeah.
And I appreciate the fuck out of him for this. The show was fantastic.
It just, Beyonce is the greatest performer alive. She's the greatest performer alive. And that's really like the end of it. And honestly, I don't give a fuck how you feel. Like, I don't care about you not liking her because so many people like her, or you not being able to say however the fuck you feel because you're going to get dragged. Like, Beyonce is the greatest performer alive. Like, mm-hmm. She just is. She puts on a fantastic show every single time. She's worked her ass off since she was, like, a child to get to this point, to be a great performer, to put on an amazing act, and that's what she's fucking doing. And she's humble, and she looks great, and she has, like, whatever. She's not fucking perfect. Diamonds don't literally shoot out of her ass. Sure, we fucking exaggerate sometimes. We call her a deity or whatever.
And we know that.
Like, but that's because, like, she's just so great. Like, she is like, when you think of, like, performance and you think of, like, artistry, and you just have to think of Beyonce. You have to count her. You just do.
Right.
She's just an amazing part of, like, music and pop culture today, and I'm sorry. Like, you don't have to, like...
She just enjoy, slays. You don't have just, to like it, just, but it's still true.
You don't have to, but for you to deny it is just... It's almost inhuman.
Some website said, the thing about Beyoncé and Jay-Z is that they have no equals. There's nobody on their level. Like, these two people are phenomenal separately, but you put them together and it's just like, bitch, get the fuck. Everybody else can go home. Like, everybody else could have been went home, but these two people together is really fuck your fave. And it's not even a matter of opinion now. It's just that's the way it is. And nobody gives a shit. You don't have
and
to like it.
And that's just the fucking end. That is the finish line, sweetheart. That is the full stop. We are done. Like, they slay the end, and then they hit you with a crisp shot of their baby at the end to let you know that the generation is also coming for them edges, bitch. So you might as well just go on ahead and box some shits up, put a bow on it, and say it for Blue Ivy, honey, because she's coming for him and she demands
nigga,
those edges
listen,
as well.
Because
like, we're just done. That's the fucking end. And you bruh. Can stew. You can be pissed. Sweetness. You can be mad. But the bottom black ass line is that those edges belong to the Nose Carter. They are on the run yes. for them to your city as we speak. So have them shits ready woo! For when the Carters roll through, girl. We're done. Hey guys, don't forget to go and check out our friends at Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com/theread and enter offer code FURY, that's F-U-R-Y, at your checkout. You can get a very simple and easy, really beautiful design. We use Squarespace ourselves for our website, thisistheread.com. I've referred a lot of friends to it. Who are trying to build new websites for their businesses and stuff. It's super easy and really fun to use. So go check them out.
Yes, guys, you can start a free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you go to squarespace.com/thread. That's squarespace.com/thread and use offer code FURY to get 10% off your very first purchase and show support, sorry, for our show. Of course, we use Squarespace and hint, hint, the new episode is always linked first on our website before it is anywhere else. So if you are one of the many people who refreshes the site obsessively, that's all thanks to Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com/thread again for your free trial and 10% off. Squarespace.com/thread. Enter offer code FURY.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I always put it on Squarespace first before I put it anywhere else. So make sure you check out our website and check out our good friends at Squarespace. That's squarespace.com/thread.
All right, let's continue the show.
Okay.
Hey, girl. So here we are. We're finished.
Yes. I'm so tired from all that good standing we just did. But, you know, I mean, it had to be done. Like, On the Run was phenomenal. So anyway, no spoilers past this point. If you have any questions, send them to asktheread@gmail.com and we will maybe answer them on the show. We have so many great ones this week. Let's start with one from Karen. And it says, Kid Fury. I love that you love the Golden Girls. That show got me and my boyfriend together as an initial common interest. I figured any straight guy who admitted to not only watching it, but liking it deserved a chance. It was well written, well acted, and those ladies have great comedic timing and chemistry that still resonates today. My question is, what is your favorite episode of the Golden Girls? Crystal, I don't know if you watched the show or have seen any episodes. You are more than welcome to chime in. I couldn't possibly pick my favorite, but she wants to know what yours is.
Right. Thanks.
Well, she put some options here. She was saying one of them is when Sophia comes to live with the girls. That was a good one.
Oh, actually, I think I know my favorite.
And when Blanche went to sleep. Oh, when Blanche went without sleep writing her memoirs. So those are her faves.
I think that my favorite... My favorite episode of The Golden Girls is actually the one where Dorothy's son, I can't remember his, I think it's Michael, her son who was like a tragic mess, like he's like a starving artist and he's always like relying on his parents to get him through life even when he's like 30-some years old. But he comes home one day and he tells his mother out of nowhere that he's getting married.
Oh my God, that's my favorite one too.
And then like his mom's like, who is this woman and who, why you're marrying her? You didn't say anything. And then it ends up to be a black woman.
Yes.
And she's like 45, much older than him. And then she's pregnant on top of it. I like that episode because it was just like so funny. And then her black family comes over and is like mixed in between with like with the girls and with Sophia. There's like a lot of really interesting like racial quips and shit.
Oh my God. I can't believe we have the same favorite episode.
That one's my favorite
one. It is, because Sophia comes in and she sees all these black people. She's like, what is this? The Raisin in the Sun?
Yeah.
Like,
it was just so, it was very funny.
I love that show. And like, you're right about the comedic timing. Those four women just.
It was like, there were a lot of great jokes like on race, but they like towed the line.
Yeah.
Like they had like the part where Rose and Blanche had came out of the kitchen and they were doing like mud masks, so their faces were painted brown.
Oh God.
In front of the family. And it was just like this awkward pause where they're like, we're not racist.
So right about
how
this.
Do we get out of this? It's just it's
because
yeah.
this looks bad. Or when they had, was she Jamaican or some Caribbean,
yeah,
like that housekeeper
lady
or something?
That,
that show is perfect.
I also love the one with Ruby Dee in it.
Oh, yeah. Ruby Dee was on an episode.
She played Blanche's mammy.
Oh, God. Ugh. I don't have every episode on DVD like you do, but I... don't mistake that for not loving the
Golden Amazon, Girls. Thank you for being a friend, because they shipped each and every one of those golden things.
I love that
right
fucking
on over
show.
There. And I literally watched those DVDs like out, like to the point where I could literally go line for line on these episodes. They had to take a break.
Yeah.
It's like crack.
And you actually can. Like, you can quote that show all day, every day. So let's move on. Our next question is from Diane, and it says, if you guys could witness any event, past, present, or future, what would it be? Would you just be a bystander, or would you try to change the course of time?
That has like the potential to get like a really deep answer.
I kind of think I would want to witness the birth of Beyonce Giselle Knowles. Just to
witness,
see the moment that greatness came into the world.
I don't want to witness the birth of anyone.
Oh, you've never seen a birth?
Oh, I have, and I don't ever want to do it again.
It's quite terrifying the first time.
And second and third. I don't know how.
When you see the vagina literally
gape open. We don't have
open.
To do this.
Okay.
We don't have to.
All right.
It is graphic.
Fine.
And it is unfair.
Fine.
That this is what women have to do in order to just like, good lord, shit, literal shit. Sometimes you do. Like, it's just, you can't help it.
I'll never forget.
I cannot do this. I can't do it. It's not right.
When you did that women's work video, and I was like, you know, sometimes women are pushing and they just shit themselves, like during childbirth. And you were like, excuse me? Like, their vaginas can rip and they need to be sewn back up. Like, this is all very real. This is childbirth. This is natural. This is what happens. This is why y'all need to respect the women in your
lives.
It's
not even slightly fair. Like, I just feel like so bad. Like, I just feel like, are there no alternatives?
And the girls like, are just like, oh, well. I mean, because we've had cramps since we were 12. We know, like, we're used to pain.
It's just not right. Anyway, what was the question?
If you could witness any event in history, what would it be?
I think I really would. I don't want to say anything like, fucking the civil rights movement. I don't think I could do it.
I think if I could go back to when the first slave ships approached African shores, I would be like, no, don't do it.
And you'd be promptly shot. What?
Like, I don't know what these fucking Spanish niggas on these boats is about to tell you, but don't do it. Don't.
I really wish that I could. Like, I'd be very interested
God.
In seeing what the state of the world would be like if that never took place. But
me too.
I
feel like Africa would be like a bad bitch, just overall. Like,
I mean, Africa is a bad bitch.
I mean, but a bad
Africa is like,
but
mother.
Like monetarily, like Africa doesn't have the props that Africa deserves because Africa's resources have been shipped all over the planet. So if you can imagine. Just all the badass black people of this universe just basically being in Africa where we all came from. Child, please. Boo. Bye. Y'all wouldn't be able to tell us shit.
Can you imagine if Beyonce concerts only happened in Africa? I'm kidding.
You had to book a ticket to Senegal to see this shit.
I think that if I could like really witness anything, it would have been like a live Michael Jackson concert. I never got the chance
I
to
wish,
that.
Yes. Not to be like too serious or too goofy, but it would have been dope as hell to see Michael Jackson live. I never did. Even though as a child, my dad would like let me tape his concerts and stuff because they were always on TV.
Yeah, they were always
and
on
he
TV.
Would let me, we had a VCR, which was very fancy back then. And he would tape some of the concerts and I would put on a glove, just a regular winter glove. They wouldn't buy me no cute sequin glove, but I would put on a glove and a hat and I would sit there and do Michael Jackson choreography in the living room until that tape fucking broke. Like, before I stand for Beyonce, before I stand for Brandy or Janet, it was Michael Jackson was the first time that I was just like.
And you know what? I welcomed it. I welcomed it because I understood that this man was an incredible powerhouse performer. And I was a baby. Like, I was a child. I remember being terrified of Thriller and right. all of that same shit. But I just recognized that this man, and I remember seeing those concerts on TV and them literally, like, carrying these white women out over these shoulders.
Oh, yeah, because they would just fall out and die.
They would literally just be like, literally dying on stage. And I remember thinking, like, is this man, like, I remember being a kid and not thinking that he was human. I thought that he had, like, powers, because it was like,
well, I mean, because look at him.
I never saw, like, any, like, the reaction
right
that he
I
got.
Never saw anything like that.
I never
that.
Saw any other pop star get it. And I remember being in Canada being like, this man is magic.
Right. Like, this is very special. Nobody else. People don't scream like this for I'll Be Sure. Like, this is something very unique,
like,
going on.
Like, fall out and everything.
Right. And I mean, and it was warranted. Like, Michael Jackson was, is, and forever will be the king of pop. That man holds a special place in my heart. That's as far as music and just legacy and slayage is concerned. And so, yeah, I think I agree with you. I wish I had seen him in person before he passed. So, let's move
on. Or Whitney Houston singing at the Super Bowl. Okay, I'm done.
That was the most iconic Super Bowl performance
ever
of the national anthem of
period.
All time. It is the only version of the national anthem that I will actually stand up and put my hand over my heart for. All the rest of them, like, around college is when I started getting really militant. And so when they would play the Star Spangled Banner, I would just be like, eh, whatever. Don't give a shit. Like, that was when I was just, like, very, I mean, and I'm still kind of like that. But when I hear Whitney sing it, bitch, that's a whole other story. I will get the fuck up. Because Whitney Houston did that. I don't care if she sang it live or in the studio. Whitney Houston did the fuck out of that. That, you, bitch, you sent the national anthem to number one. How the fuck? Please explain it. How? Like, bitch, really? Like, you have people buying this single. Like, but it's the, girl, anyway, let's move on. Because I'll sit here and stand all day.
I mean, I can't do it.
Our next question comes from T. And he says, hey, Kiff, you're in Crystal. First off, I want to say I fucking love your show. And y'all get me through my trashy ass, ashy ass life.
You great. Watch your mouth.
T says, wait, this may not be a boy. Maybe a girl.
All right.
I've been crushing on this guy I noticed on Twitter for a long time. I followed him 6 months ago and he just followed me back a week ago. No, bitch, we're gonna do it because you know we get all kinds.
Alrighty.
We've corresponded a couple of times on Twitter. It's nothing really serious, but I want to get to know him just because he seems like a really nice guy. And he knows the difference between T-O, T-O-O, and T-W-O, which is so very important.
That's, you know, that's a step in the right direction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I know for a fact that he's a real person and not a catfish.
That's also great.
I want to slide my ass to his DMs, but I've never talked to a guy online before, and I've kind of always judged other people who have. But now that shoe is on the other foot. Anyway, I've changed my mind. So how do I make the first move, or should I even make the first move?
Okay, so here's the thing about internet dating, right? Mm,
go on and talk about it.
There's nothing wrong with it, per se, like, because everyone is really on the internet. Like, not everyone is on the internet, but, like, even people who don't actively use social media websites, a lot of them still have them, and they just don't use them ever because they don't see the appeal or whatever. They just don't care. But a lot of, like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. So you can totally meet someone online on Twitter or on Facebook or wherever and potentially have, like, a really cool relationship. You may not get married and have kids and spend the rest of your life with them, but you may find something, you may have something cool with them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're rolling your eyes and it's because you don't love. Like, you don't understand, you don't have, like,
and I accept that.
The capacity in your
and that's
spirit
fine.
For that. And it's fine. You don't
I'm
have
not even
going
to argue with you about that.
You don't have feelings. And
no,
it's totally fine.
I don't.
But yes, it is possible that you can meet someone really cool online. So, like, give it a shot. However, like, keep your, we'll just call them expectations. Keep your expectations relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I only say that because while it's possible for you to get something really, Twitter life is like a box of chocolates. You never know exactly what you're going to get. A lot of that shit is just terrible. You had no place in the box to begin with. But every now and then, you might Possibly. Mm. However, I don't think that you should, you know.
Don't be like me, because I'm completely closed out to the idea at this point in my life.
Yeah, don't listen to this bitch, because it takes like a strong stud to pique her damn attention.
It really does.
It's like still, she just like
completely studdish.
Like,
but it takes a lot.
It just, and then she doesn't. I don't even.
Don't tell my business.
Like, you would literally, it would literally have to. Like, I could not see. I just.
Like, you just don't. The look on your face, like, I'm just so complicated.
Like, you have the you have, like, the potential to, like, date or whatever, but I don't see you being like, oh, I'm so in love. Like, that's just not you. Like, I feel like you, like, going. I see you, like, going out on dates with a girl, like, a couple of times, and then odds are being like, she belched and I'm over it. Like, you just, like, you just don't have patience. I think that someone, though, is eventually, I feel like you're going to be married before me and death. Well, I don't think I'm ever going to be married. But okay. I think that someone is eventually going to come across and then you're going to be good.
It'll
but I don't
take think one that hell you're of a person be like, because I'm not easy to claim.
Anyway, this isn't about us.
Right,
this
no, it's about not about us. Yes, this is about
and
Young
And the tea online. I say go for it. I say, you know, like, make small talk or whatever. Be a little bit more confident, you know, like, don't be, like, afraid. The thing is, like, you may be, like, afraid of rejection like I am, which is why I never, like, take the first step when it comes to things. Like, nigga literally needs to approach me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I have tried many times to get you to, like, approach a man and you're just like, I don't do
like,
that.
What?
So,
no, I don't.
No.
That doesn't happen.
And I'd be like, so, but how are y'all ever gonna get together if neither one of you is, like, bold enough to approach the other? You're like, I don't know. Guess we just won't.
Missed encounters? I don't know what you're supposed to do. Yeah, I say, like, it's literally just the internet. Like, it's not like, you know, this dude that sits across from me at work every day that you have to see regardless anyway. So, like, if you're feeling it, you know, like, take a chance. It's the internet. Like, not everyone, but a lot of people are dating or finding, like, crushes and shit online. And people act on it. Some people don't. And I think that regardless of what you choose to do, it's fine. But just don't, like, again, just don't expect, like, the world out of this because it's, again, it's the internet. And, like, if it's a situation that is, like, maybe you just want to keep it online. Maybe you just want something that you can just, like, flirt with online because then you don't have to expect shit, you know? But, yeah. Like, I don't.
The thing is, though,
web dating is tricky, but you can, yeah.
Like, it's one thing to internet date, but it's another thing to Twitter date. Like, I feel like I draw a very distinct line between the internet, the rest of the internet, basically, and then Twitter. Because of all of the many, many relationships that I have seen start from Twitter, only two of them have been, like, even worth a damn to where I would be like, okay, that was worth the risk of, like, going out. Like, two separate couples I know where they, like, got married and they lived happily ever after, and these people are, like, super happy now and have gorgeous brownstones in Brooklyn. Like, that's nice. But for those two, I know 948 other stories that ended with dick pics being leaked on the timeline.
Yeah, but see, that's because you're not, you know, like, that's
it's like, it's bullshit. It always,
you have to have the right
tactics. It's something about Twitter, though. It's something about Twitter and young people, and they just don't give a fuck.
Well, the presence of fuckboys on Twitter is just, it's crazy.
But
they're
people
like
are dating
300
them.
Rise of an Empire.
Like, if y'all wasn't
right,
dating
so
and fucking them, then it wouldn't be nothing to talk about,
you
but
have,
y'all are.
You have to differentiate, like, a Twitter name from, like, someone with potential. That's why I'm saying don't set your expectations too high. Like, there are little things that I look out for where I'm like, okay, you're cute and I can crush on you online or whatever. When I log fuck off, bitch, I'm done. Like, there's some, like, if you have on Instagram, like, 1,000 followers and you follow 1,000 people and you posting, like, selfies every morning before you even brush your damn teeth, like, you can be fine as hell and I will follow and like, but we can leave it right there.
Right,
like, it's
there.
Just, like, and that may mean nothing, but I see that so much, mm-hmm. like, and I see a lot of the behavior that is attributed to niggas who
come
have
on,
those kinds of things
come on.
That have in their bio New York City /LA/Atlanta/Miami/Toronto.
Nah.
So, really? Nah. Okay, girl. Well, that's fine as well. And maybe you really have been to all of these cities or have family in all of these cities or whatever. I'm not judging you. I just see it enough to just attribute it to, like, social media behavior. Mm. And I have found that the guys, or even just outside of dating, like, the people who I have met online and built like really cool situations with, whether they lasted or they didn't, have had like an inch, like who have spent an, they spend enough time offline, you know what I'm saying? Like they have lives.
Yeah.
Like even you can tell from like the things that they tweet and the pictures that they post that they're not like living through social media.
Right.
It's not like that's not what it is for them. Like it's just literally something they do to pass the time and have a good time and share witty thoughts and you know what I mean? Like
right.
That's why like I met your ass on Twitter, you know? It's just, but like
that's totally different because we ain't fucking. But them two couples I know, those four people, they didn't live on Twitter. It was like, you know, they used Twitter and they met one another on Twitter, but there are some people who sit there and live every moment of their lives for the internet to see.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like I log on Twitter sometimes and I just scroll through there and I'll tweet and I'll laugh at y'all or whatever, but most of the time I'll just live in my mentions. I'll just like look at what the fuck y'all are saying, or I go to my lists that I've made with like actual friends of mine.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the followers that, I mean, a lot of the people that I ended up following over the years, and the people that y'all retweet into my fucking timeline, like y'all literally log on to social media to live the life that you wish you did.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I, it's fine, like if that's what you choose to do or whatever, but don't like, don't get it twisted. Like you still, like you can like, how do I say this? Like you can take a picture in front of your friend's Benz, you still drive a Prius.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Like you can crop out however much of this selfie that she want, you still mm-hmm. a big bitch, you still skinny. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
you can take all the angled selfies you want to. Real life is still real life.
Real life is still your real life. And so it's fine to me to like go online and do these things. But then some people just like get completely out of pocket with it. And it's like, girl, like, these niggas don't know you, but I don't even really need to know you to know that you like fronting right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it just leaves so much room for like, it's very just, a lot of it is very high school. A lot of it is very just like, you know, we coming on here to like do this battle of the sexes every day on Twitter and shit. It's just tired.
But there are people who really just like live for it. Like, I hope this person that you're talking to, dear T, I hope this person does not just live and die for Twitter.
But it's not everyone. It's not everyone. You know, there are people who are on Twitter and are on Tumblr and Instagram and Facebook or whatever that if you take a chance with, you may have a situation that you really enjoy. It doesn't say that it doesn't mean it's going to last forever. Mm-hmm. It may not even be like a super healthy fucking relationship, but that you could have like the same type of relationship with a nigga or with a girl or whoever that you meet at the club or at a bar or at a coffee shop or at work or wherever. Like, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So be willing to, like, take a shot if you want to. But also, be very aware of the red flags.
Absolutely.
That's all right. I'm saying.
T, good luck to you. I hope it works out. I want to do one more. This one's from Anonymous, and it says, my girlfriend and I have been together for 5 years and decided we wanted to have a child. So this is a lesbian relationship, in case you didn't get that.
All right.
She is dedicated to carrying our child, and I have no problem with that. She told me that she may want to use one of her male friends as a sperm donor. And again, I was not bothered by this until she told me that if her male donor friend decided he wanted to be a part of the child's life, she would welcome and encourage it. This bothered me greatly, but she did not understand why. I asked sarcastically that if our child in his or her emotional rebellious teenage years decided that he or she wanted to go live with the donor, would she condone that? And my girlfriend said yes. Am I wrong for not wanting the donor to be an active part of our child's life? How do I explain to my girlfriend that I feel like a third wheel parent in her scenario?
I don't think that you're wrong for feeling that way, because a donor is literally someone who is donating
their DNA,
part, you know, to create this child. You would be the child's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost, but to, I don't know, it could just be me. To me, it's almost like she's saying like, I want for our child, if he or she so desires, to develop a relationship with, you know, his or her biological dad. I think that that's what it's about. And I kind of get that. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. Like,
right.
Kids get adopted all the time by gay and straight parents. And you never know if a kid may be interested at some point in his or her life about that sort of thing and want those, you know, lines of communication to be open. Mm-hmm. You know, your child could grow up and love both of you and recognize you as parents, but still be curious about who, you know, his or her biological dad is and want to meet him and want to know, you know what I mean? So I think that that's where she may be coming from. I don't know about letting my child go live with him.
Mm, that's where I was like, nah, like I can see both sides of this as far as whether the donor should be involved. I really do. I can see where both of these people are coming from. But I think as long as you establish, you know, like at the birth that this child is legally yours and hers, then you shouldn't have any problems, because your baby just, like, if this is legally your son, he can't just go live with somebody else at the age of 14 without you being like, no, bring your narrow ass back home.
I don't think that can happen.
So I think you guys need to have something, and thank God for being gay. This way you can have these conversations and set everything up. It ain't no oops. It ain't no, so about the other night, we were super high and now I'm pregnant. There's none of that bullshit. When we are pregnant, it's because we want to be. So I just feel like it's dope as hell that y'all are having this conversation now.
I never thought about that.
It's not like, because there's so many straight people who have kids because of circumstance and not because of desire. But, you know, none of my business. Anyway, I feel like it's really great that y'all are having this conversation now. And I think y'all should just get the legalese out of the way before you go through the insemination process. I feel like this is something that is a big deal, but it's not that like you can't work through it.
Yeah,
this is something where y'all can find a compromise. It's not like, oh, throw your relationship away and find somebody else.
I've always thought, like, if I ever do have children, which ooh, God bless them.
Your poor kids.
I think my children would have fantastic lives because I know that I will spoil my kids rotten, but I'm not taking no shit.
Right. That's why I'm like, oh God, these kids.
To be running around with these little bad ass motherfucking hood boogers in these fucking streets and be thinking that you can get away with the same shit, because I will bust your ass.
But you're gonna make your kids sit there and like read out loud every night like 6 chapters.
Damn right.
Did you stutter? Did you stammer? Take your ass back 3 paragraphs and start the fuck over again.
You damn Skippy.
And I'm not mad at all. Like, I was writing
5 paragraph essays in kindergarten age and shit. Are you kidding me?
I read like, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sing at age 9. Like, please. I've been reading way above what I should have been reading for.
And I will not settle for any less.
I will not settle for less than greatness if I know you can be great.
Anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that I've always felt like if I was going to have children, whether I adopted or had like a surrogate or something like that, I would always want to keep in contact. Like, would want to know who my child's birth mother is, and, you know, have those connections. Because if I, you know, if it ever does come a point where my child wants to know, you know, all of that, I want you to be able to at least try and reach out to this person and figure that out. I don't want you to ever be like, oh, who was my biological mom or dad or whatever, and I don't know nothing about them.
Right.
Some kids may grow up and not ever give a shit. They may be fine with both of the parents that they have and not care about any of that. But some may not, and I want to be able to at least give my child the comfort of knowing that they can go and find those kinds of things
out. Yeah, I think it's great that you may have a donor that your child could know. But I don't think it has to be, you know, a third parent. I think you can approach it like way less seriously than that. Like, this person is very important. Like, this person's DNA is part of the reason why you're here. But mama and I, however you refer to yourselves, like, we are your parents legally and in every other sense of the word. So good luck to the two of you. I very much hope it works out. If you guys have any questions, please send them to asktheread@gmail.com, and we will be right back. Hi friends, Kit Fury and I have been using our great friends over at NatureBox to switch over to a healthier lifestyle, and you can too. With naturebox.com/the read, you will get 50% off your first box. We love NatureBox snacks. Again, they have some amazing cashews with sriracha that are just fantastic, and we have like completely demolished the entire bag every time we get some. So head on over to naturebox.com/the read and sign up. You can have them sent straight to home or work, so you can skip the grocery store and all the terrible temptations there. They have snacks that are better for you with no high fructose corn syrup or any of that other yucky stuff. So again, head on over to naturebox.com/the read, check out what they have and see if you like it.
Yeah, you know, if you're anything like me, sometimes you might want to curl up in front of like a good TV show or movie and just have something to snack on. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. If you're checking out Nature Box, they've got loads of different snacks that change every month, and you can have them sent directly to your home or office. And they can even pick a variety for you if you're not exactly sure what you want. I love the Santa Fe corn sticks a lot. So just check them out at naturebox.com/THEREAD to get 50% off your first month.
Yes, again, NatureBox has three different sizes, so pick the one that's good for you and your family. This is a way to choose smarter snacks as opposed to the crap that's available generally elsewhere. So again, head on over to naturebox.com/THEREAD for 50% off your first box. Let them know Kiffier and Crystal sent you. It's time to snack smarter with NatureBox and the Read.
Okay, let's continue.
Okay.
So, it's time for the read.
It is. Do you want me to go first this week or you want to go?
I can go first.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure if this is a read as much as it is just, it might be like a statement. So, listen, not everything is shade. Sometimes, something I say or something that is said is in no way... It's not meant to mean anything besides what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I feel like people fish for or like add context to certain things that someone may say. Like, I get in trouble for this a lot. Just the problem is I just don't give a shit. And that's not a problem for me, I guess, as much as it is for other people.
That's somebody else's problem.
But sometimes I'll say something very simple, and I'm just, like, I can be very dry, especially, like, in person. I don't really, like, you know what I mean? So...
Yes, I know exactly how you are. Bitch, don't look at me like that. You know how you do people. Are you really
finna? Anyway.
Okay. Because are you really
finna? Didn't need help.
I mean, but are you really?
So, you know, sometimes I say certain things, and it's taken as... Like, if I was to say, oh, those shoes are so interesting... It's like, I'm not telling you that the fucking shoes are hideous and you're stupid and you have no sense of fashion and you should die. I just, you know, like, first of all, if I shade you, more often than not, you can tell. Like, you may not catch it, like, immediately. You may be, like, on the bus ride home and be like, did that nigga really?
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. You know, that's the point. But shade is, like, meant to be caught. Someone's going to catch. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole point of shade is to say something without having to say it.
Right.
And I don't need to because you know what the fuck I'm talking about. But... other times there's a statement that's made and it's not meant to mean anything, but what the fuck? I shouldn't have to be like, oh, well, you know, I really meant blah, 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 and this, that, and the third. Because if you have common sense and you understand, like, sentences and structure of sentences and the meaning of words, then you should be able to just take what I said as what I said without it having to be this, like, what you trying to say moment. Girl, nothing. Exactly what the fuck I said. Like, it's not calling for all of it.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. Because I feel like a lot of people, especially lately, like, they've kind of categorized everything as shade. Like, not literally everything we say is shady. Like, everything is not always a reason to, like, rally the troops and be like, oh my God, did you shade the shit out of me? Like, really, honestly, if I threw some shade at you, you would probably know it immediately.
Someone needs to just go ahead and give these girls a class. Like, if y'all just gonna be using gay slang, then I guess someone needs to teach y'all how to
use it. The straight boys do it now too.
Because first of all, shade and read are not the same things. We have gone over this. They mean two completely different things. And it's just y'all don't seem to be understanding it. So, you know, maybe we'll just pass out pamphlets or something, we'll figure it out. But not everything is shade. Not everything is shade. Something is literally sometimes certain things are literally just a statement or a thought or an opinion that has no shady fucking connotation attached to it. It's just a statement. And I guess me being me, as shady as I actually am, I guess maybe I understand how sometimes you make something maybe perceived as shade and it's just not. Like, but it's just, I don't ever really have the energy to go back and be like, oh, well, I wasn't really trying to say that. Like, I was just simply built, like, I'm not gonna do that shit no more. Like, just take what the fuck I say, how I fucking say it, and bitch, we done. Because, like, when I'm being shady, I know that I'm being shady and I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to have to go and trollop around with the rest of y'all bitches.
Right.
And try and get you to understand where I'm coming from. Like, it's not that serious.
Yes, absolutely. I love that.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know if I think it does. Any of my I think reads make sense these days.
You always say that, and then we always get a million people who are like, yas, yeah, Kid Perry, so whatever. Yes, absolutely. I am going to pass my read this week.
Pass the read like we used to.
All right. And this week's read on my end anyway comes from Lawrence, who says, hey, y'all, this is Lawrence, and this read is dedicated to all the people who told me that I paid too much for my ticket to On the Run.
Oh, my God!
I bought my ticket for On the Run the day the general admission tickets went on sale, and I paid $288.45 for floor seating in Section L, row 2.
How
at
much?
The new $288.45.
Oh, girl, shut up. So that is a good... What?
No, but listen. At the New Orleans show, July 20th, keep in mind, I'm 16 years old, so the fact that I even paid for my ticket with my own money is already an accomplishment, okay? Because at 16, I had a job, but bitch, would I have saved that much? Nah. Anyway, there's always a stupid bitch who always has to say, that's way too much money to see Beyonce, or Beyonce is not worth all that. And my response is always, who the fuck asked you?
Who asked you?
I don't give a damn how much you would pay to see. This is my money, and I will spend it however the fuck I want to. I don't tell you not to spend your money on your trifling-ass boyfriend who's always in my text messages, because that's none of my damn business.
Okay, that was personal shade.
Beyonce
that was
and
Jay. That was personal shade.
Yes,
and
Lawrence.
Someone knows who that was for, and it was rude, yes. Lauren. It was rude.
Yes, you did.
It was rude.
Beyonce and Jay-Z are the shit, and they are also my biggest role models, so keep your bullshit-ass comments to yourself, bitch. Didn't nobody ask you. Mind your own damn business, and don't worry about how I'm spending my money or why. So thank you so much, Lawrence, for this read. I too spent some money on the queen, you know, because it's floor seats and it's Beyonce, it's Jay-Z. It wasn't a moment where I wanted to go light on the ticket. I didn't really want to. And then also, it's me. I don't have no kids. I don't have no spouse.
Who the fuck cares?
I don't, right, but I don't have to justify it to you overall. If I had 8 fucking kids and 3 husbands, I could still spend $288.45 on Beyonce tickets,
it's
and that's my damn
money.
Business. Don't worry. Bitch, unless I asked you, unless I started a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe for Beyonce tickets, I really don't give a fuck what you think about how much I spent on them and why, because it's really none of your damn business. And like my good sis Lawrence, this was shady as fuck, this whole part about your boyfriend
it
and the text
delicious.
Messages. This was
that was absolutely terrible.
We loved it because we're terrible people, but this was shady as hell.
Very aggressive.
Don't worry about what I'm doing over here. Just worry about why I'm at Beyonce and you are not. Worry about why I'm on the floor.
Yeah, worry about
and
how that
you
happens.
Are waiting for the shit to come on HBO. So thank you so much, Lawrence, for that pass the read. If you have a read that you want one of us to read, send it to passthread@gmail.com. And that wraps up another episode of The Read.
Yeah, The Read.
Yes, bitch, you better sing. We,
what was that?
Who knows?
I don't know.
We just did a great sit down with The Guardian. Head on over to their website and check out the interview and the write-up they did. We also posted it on our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr pages. All of those are username This Is The Read on their respective sites. So head on over and check out our fun interview and kind of write-up about the show with The Guardian. Thanks so much for that, you guys. What about you, Kifir? You have any news this week?
Man, I have so much shit that I'm doing.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that I have not
talked about.
Oh, so
you're not talking about any of it?
No.
Okay.
But it's fun and it's exciting, and I'm really excited to share some of the stuff once it's all on the right. Yeah, not yet. But there should be a video on YouTube right now.
Oh, yes. Excited for your new video. I know what it's about. Are you going to tell them what it's about? Or?
You can just go on over to YouTube and subscribe.
Okay. Yeah, head
I'm
on
sure,
over to Kifir's yeah. YouTube and
there's
see that.
There's a video over there. Hey, girl. And also, I think we're going to be announcing new dates for the Read Live soon.
Okay.
So that should be fun. And...
So make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. And then, of course, check our website, thisistheread.com, to get all the brand new latest updates on what we're doing and where we'll be and when.
And the acronym for this week.
Oh, I have one little thing to say. I'm going to be in Los Angeles on August 17th doing a panel called Spotlight on Diversity with the Boxing Project.
So you're better than me now?
No, bitch. I'm just saying I have a piece of news to announce. I'm speaking on a panel about LGBT media representation. Me and a bunch of other amazing people, Julie Vu from YouTube and Leah Delaria. I hope I didn't fuck up how you pronounce her name. But she plays Big Boo on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
She's on that panel too, so I'm very excited just to tell people that I was in her presence. So anyway, for information and tickets, go to spotlightondiversity.theboxingproject.org. And I think that's it for me.
FNGW, fuck niggas, get Wi-Fi.
Okay, you know what? I'm actually going to go home now.
So
why are you touching your bra? What are you doing?
Adjust my breasts. Make sure they're all crispy.
You're going to have to get the fuck out of my face.
I'm so sorry to my parents for adjusting my fake titties on Watch What Happens Live.
And somebody just put that gif on Tumblr again. Like, every time I see it, I die.
They live for it.
Why wouldn't they? Like,
I don't know.
Is hilarious.
It's just so vulgar and so gay and dumb. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, y'all.